Plastic Museum. If you can tomorrow, please go by. Named after Arthur Schomburg, who was a Puerto Rican bibliophile. This place holds the original manuscript of Native Son by Richard Wright.
Yes, it does. It houses the original manuscript of Native Son, which is pretty fantastic.
But is that the first piece of black writing in America?
What, no. Right in America?
No. I mean, it's one of the most famous and it's one of the earliest in the 20th century.
But it broke that ceiling by publishing it a little bit.
And it was one of the more popular ones, but certainly not the
Frederick
first.
Douglas wrote, had it out.
Yeah, and Solomon Northrup.
No, actually, way before the Renaissance, the 1700s, a man named Jupiter Hammond was the first black person to publish literature in the U.S.
Right.
This was 1760, and it was a poem called An Evening Thought, Salvation by Christ. Following him, the first black person to publish a book, not woman or man, just person to publish a book, was Phyllis Wheatley. She published her book, Poems on Various Subjects, Religious and Moral. She received actual praise from Jupiter Hammond. Both of them were actually slaves at the time of their publications in the 1700s.
Wow.
But they were educated by their owners and encouraged. Phyllis especially was encouraged to publish her poetry. And when she couldn't find a publisher here in America, they traveled with her to England, where she found someone to publish. So those are the two people that actually started black literature in America before the end of slavery.
No, that's amazing. That's very important knowledge. This place, the Schomburg Center, has been a really, really great boon to the community in terms of being a place to really study African American literature, study history, and then really archive it properly the way a really great library should. So it's one of the major cultural centers in Harlem today. One of the big names that I wanted to mention here, just as we're ending this tour on a very, very lovely note, is Langston Hughes, because actually one of my personal favorite things about the Schomburg Center, if you look in the lobby over here, I'm going to show you a mosaic that you can kind of see. I wish it was open, but you can kind of see that mosaic through those extra double doors over there. And it's this beautiful mosaic of these trails all meeting together in a circle.
It's on the floor.
Yeah, on the floor. Yeah, sorry, on the floor there is a mosaic. Underneath that mosaic actually are interred the ashes of Langston Hughes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He is interred here at the Schomburg Center. So we are officially seeing the grave of Langston Hughes right now in its most appropriate environment here in the heart of Harlem. And that would be something that he would be really appreciative of, I think, and I'm sure it was part of his dying wishes. In general, you guys read a little bit of Langston Hughes' poetry at the start, and you've studied him a bit, right?
A bit, yeah.
So one of my favorite things that I actually really love about Langston Hughes is, you know, he's kind of considered to be one of our great American poets. But like many of our other great American poets, Walt Whitman especially comes to mind, he wasn't really appreciated at the start. Nobody really liked the stuff that he was writing because his poetry was seen as being a little bit too real about the African American experience. And people within the Harlem community especially actually were really unappreciative of him writing in such a real way, in such a negative way oftentimes, about the African American experience, because they really, you know, Harlem Renaissance was happening, hope was alive, change was coming, and we want to put our best foot forward. Let's only talk about the good stuff from here on out. And Langston Hughes was, you know, absolutely not. No, this is not the way to do it. And then on top of that, he had that amazing structure and style that referenced jazz music. And again, people were asking him to maybe be a little bit more formal and maybe put his, you know, maybe make it a little bit fancier, maybe not use so much of that dialect and that vernacular in the way that you're writing. I've pulled up a few of my favorite headlines from various newspapers reviewing Langston Hughes' first work of poetry, The Big C. And there were certain things like the Chicago Whips called him the poet low rate of Harlem. Absolutely terrible pun. The Amsterdam News, the wonderful, amazing Amsterdam News, also disliked Langston Hughes at the beginning, and they called him the sewer dweller. Their official review was Langston Hughes, sewer dweller. And then also the Pittsburgh Corner said that Langston Hughes' book of poems are trash. But yeah, straight to the point, no puns there. But yeah, as time went on, obviously, and also within his lifetime, people started to really appreciate this poetry for what it was, because it was full of black identity, and that's what I think Harlem is really about. What you have here is a place where people aren't trying to be anything but what they are. They're trying to strive for their own individual identity while still striving for equality in the larger America as a whole. And so that's the reason why I think when we look and think about the Harlem Renaissance, one of the first names that pops into all of our heads, at least mine for sure, is Langston Hughes.
Yeah.
Anything else to say?
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.